Oh, hey, Kate.
Oh, hello.
To our listeners, Kate was just rattling off a slow, tumbling list of topics, and I decided to just ambush.
Look at this stuff. Isn't it neat? Wouldn't you think my collection's complete? Wouldn't you think I'm a middle-aged girl? A girl who has everything.
That's a mighty low key for that song.
It's a mighty what now?
Low key. It's just you gave me a baritone that I was not expecting.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that it was a baritone. I hope someday I wake up and I'm like, you know what? I'm going to be Ethel Merman for the second half of my life. I'm going to pull a Kathy Bates and become a late in life actress. And everyone's going to be like, wow, she must have been at this for a while to really be pushing this hard in middle age. You know, like, I'll just pretend I've been cutting my teeth somewhere in Kansas.
This is a great
That's time. How it works, right?
Today we're talking about our long-term life goals.
We are. I have so many. It's just, I'm not going to get them in this lifetime. That's yeah. not the attitude, but like, it's also okay.
Yeah.
You know, my cousin passed away last year, and he was young. And there's a lot of... In my family, we are contending with... alcoholism and addiction in my family, and like many families, my cousin fought long and hard, and we lost him. And I was talking to the priest at his funeral, who was like a Unit Baptist Universalist, something super hippie, like rainbow. Sure. Shoulder flag thing. And she was wonderful. And one of the things she said about lifetimes is that she likes to think that all of her dreams are happening for other versions of her in other universes. I had a moment, you know, she's like, yeah, I think in another universe, I'm not a priest, but I'm, you know, a grunge rock star, you know, and like, and there sure. was something about it that sure. was optimistic, and then there was something about it where I was like, I don't think that's what's happening. But nevertheless, I think it's important to contend with our mortality mm-hmm. frequently so that we can focus on what it is we'd like to experience or do or achieve. I'm very achievement based, and that's not good. Mm-hmm. I'm sort of rambling.
Well, I think that's tricky though. Achievement.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like it's more of a question of attitude sometimes. If you're like, I'm going to crush my goals, as the Lululemon folks like to say years ago.
Crush them.
Crushing it. Just crushing it.
I'm going to mercilessly beat the shit. Like, oh my, this is getting rather, physical.
As opposed to like a question of like having a sense of like purpose, which isn't necessarily attached to like a like final achievement, but like a moving in the direction of.
Ryan, I'm gonna humiliate my goals. I'm gonna drag them out into the street. I'm gonna strip them down and hose them off.
That's your new self-help book.
Oh my God, it's called Humiliate Your Goals.
Humiliate Your Goals with Kate Robinson.
I'm going to cover them in butter.
There's the title of this episode, folks. It came early this week. Humiliate Your Goals.
Humiliate Your Goals.
Oh, I should say, before we move on, thank you to everybody who reached out. There was some like spooky sound anomaly towards the like last 10 minutes of last episode where we started like our audio feed started sort of like jumping or dovetailing together, and it at one point sounds like we're just having two separate conversations that are intertwining and overlapping, and I have no idea what happened and I couldn't figure out how to fix it, but it sounds kind of cool, so I just kind of left it. But thank you
to everyone. Is the unrolled way.
But thank you to everybody that reached out and let me know, because I was like at first really worried, and then I was like, this is just odd, I don't know.
Speaking of shit going magnificently wrong on Mother's Day, hard day for a lot of people. Mm-hmm. It's really should just be like a national day of mourning, because Mother's Day is hard. I mean, some of us, it's not like your mom's your best friend, and you know, good for you. I'm glad, you know, genuinely. But you know, for a lot of people, it's challenging in their roles as mothers. It's hard. Their relationship with their mothers is strange. Their mothers aren't in their life. Whatever. It's a complicated day. Anyways, mine was particularly complicated for a myriad of reasons. One of which was I ran over my laptop with my car. And I had a moment when it happened. So here's how it happened. I had like, you know, one of those reusable shopping bags that I like just crammed full of whatever I needed to go wherever I was going. And then I was in a rush, and I've been flighty lately. And by the way, the term flighty really is, you don't hear it about men much.
No.
Am I wrong? We mostly call women flighty. We call guys spacey, maybe.
There's another F word. Flighty. Flaky.
Flaky. I feel like flighty and flaky get thrown, in my experience, more frequently.
Perhaps.
It doesn't mean that men aren't. I'm just curious about the gendering of that particular trait.
Yes.
Because I think, like, I don't know. I think we use different terms for it. Anyways, yeah. I feel that I have been like, my brain hasn't been operating quite the way it used to.
My friend Alex Amorosi, who's a teacher here in town, mentioned something to do with Venus and clumsiness over the next couple of weeks. And I've had my own share of odd situations go down, so continue.
Oh, wow. Totally. And I'm a Libra, so I feel like I'm very susceptible.
And I'm to Libra rising. So there you go. Who knew this was going to be an astrology podcast?
Seriously. So I put the bag next to the car, got everything in the car except the bag, drove over it. And here's what was interesting to me is this is how I know that my practice matters. This is one of the reasons I know my practice matters. Is because and by the way, this isn't like my vanity laptop. This is my livelihood. This is like my job. It's I am attached at the hip to that sucker. And when I drove over it, a sense of uh-oh, followed by an unignorable sense of peace came over me. I was like, huh. Like, and it was so ridiculous that it was funny, and I just didn't care. I mean, I cared, but I didn't care. And I resolved it, and my boss is the best. Matthew is the best best boss I've ever worked for, and we figured out finding another tool for me to use. But upon reflection, I really thought about that, and it was like, when there are minor inconveniences, minor ones, I will get in a flurry much quicker. But when there's a major one, and that to me was a major one, there was peace.
Yeah.
So like for me, it's like, oh, part of my house is burning down. I felt detached in a healthy way from it. Like I was able to observe it from a distance, not freak out, and but only because of the gravity of the situation.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Like sometimes things are so bad, it's hysterical. And like just doesn't matter. It's like, ah, of course. Here we are.
Yeah.
How did we get on this?
I don't know.
Backtrack. We were talking about something else. Venus, clumsiness.
Livelihood.
Oh.
Dreams, goals, aspirations, crushing, humiliating goals. What goals do you want to humiliate today?
You know, the goal I want to humiliate is, I've been working hard on not using food for comfort.
Uh-huh.
Not that it shouldn't be food for comfort. Food can totally be for comfort. That's reasonable. I just have a knee-jerk reaction to that is the easiest thing for me to do is go to food for comfort. So I'm trying to expand my repertoire. So
I run that word by me one more time. Really just chew it. Just chew on it. As it
it's like I'm spitting out yogurt.
Yeah.
So that's, I don't know if you call it a goal, but there it is.
No, I feel that.
What goal are you going to humiliate today?
What goal am I going to humiliate today? I'm having a complicated relationship with to-do lists, which is usually how I, not in a like, I've got to get all of this done sort of a way, but in a just, can I get myself organized for everything that has to happen in a day? And it is a really useful organizational tool for me, and it's just really interesting to notice how I just don't have it in me most days, and I think that is really just like amplified in a way that I can't actually like push through. And so I don't know if the pushing through that gets me through so much in life or my sense is like feeling that as the neurotic tendency. It's like, oh, I'll just push through and get this all done. And then because of the sort of complete uncertain shit show we find ourselves in, that there's just actually no way to do that. It's just like, oh, I have to stop now. I have to stop. I have to do something else. I have to go lie down. I have to go sit. I have to go do something that doesn't involve me engaging with doing. And so it's very interesting because it's like, if I don't do the exercise of just being like, these are all of the things that need to happen, then there's also can be like a sense of panic, like I'm forgetting something. But then also by making the list, sometimes I set myself up for this like, oh my God, I got everything done. I got to get everything done. And the part of me that would normally just be like, okay, head down, let's fucking do this, is now like, nope, there's no reserve for that. There's nothing to call on to get over that hurdle. Which is really difficult when you're planning a teacher training with only 3 weeks' notice.
It is. I could not relate with that more. I feel like fences in my solar plexus that are normally reserved for when I'm understandably exhausted.
Uh-huh.
And I guess I realize the, the folly of what I just said. Of course we're all understandably exhausted. It's just like this strange, quieter one. Because it's internal, it's inside, we're being kept apart. I find my benchmark for no is like, I have to put it down. Can't do it. I can't do it right now. I can't, The fences to me are what's interesting around my normal ability to go through my checklist and get shit done.
Yeah. And I just got a notification of an email that came through that says, that was titled, "Are you ready to optimize your schedule?" And so, on top of all of that, we're getting sold this bill of goods that now this new normal gets to be optimized towards a capitalistic end, which is this difficult to contend with. And in the midst of all of that, it's very it's very interesting to be prepping for this, I feel like we cursed ourselves because we did an episode 2.5 months back where we were like, oh, we're seeing these online teacher trainings coming up, that's going to be the new normal. We don't know what we feel about that. And then we were asked to put one together. In part. and now there are parts of it that I'm really excited about, because it's wonderful to get to work with you and then work with Danielle on putting together something that is a little outside of the box for the studio. In terms of the way we're organizing the content and the way we're organizing the training, more than just the fact that it's online, just in the way that we're engaging with the material. And what's interesting to me, even that, which is so enjoyable to me to sit down and really think about pedagogy and curriculum and how do I present this material in a way that's useful for people's practice and sets the stage for them being able to teach. But even with that stuff, I got done with everything that I had to do yesterday, and I just I'm sure that maybe Danielle saw it because I saw, you see people's sharing the document with you. My cursor was just on a spot in the outline, and I would type one sentence, then I would delete it, and I would stare at type one sentence and delete it. It was just a pure short circuit in my head of I don't even know what to do. And then I sat for a bit, and then I tried to come back to it and was no, there's nothing there. There's nothing there. So I guess I'll just wait till tomorrow and see if I can finish putting it all together.
That's really funny because last night my module for Marina and I have been working on for a bit, but last night was the night that I wanted to format it and flesh it out a bit more, and it was I had just finished. I teach the Yoga Nidra Wednesday night, and I write a new one every week. I don't know that I'll always do that, but
Yeah, don't make it promises you can't keep.
No. But what I'm trying to do is, like, I've got, I think, like, 5 or 6 now. I want to get up to a certain number and start again and rework them so that I have scripts that, anyways. So I, you know, I tap into the writing part of my brain for that. And then, like, the only time I had left was right after I taught. So we're creeping up at, like, 10:30.
Yeah.
And I've been working since, like, 9 a.m. and taking care of Frankie. And Frankie's, like, not... Last night she didn't sleep great. She usually sleeps really well, but she was... I don't know what was wrong. She woke up and she wasn't, like, crying, but she was kind of moaning. And I don't know if she was gassy or what. But, like, you know, I was in there a lot. Yeah. And, finally, I had this, like, moment of, like, energy where I could push through the rest of the fucking outline in, like, a very short amount of time. I saw a meme once that really described it. It was, like, spend 4 hours freaking out about the work that you need to do and spend 11 minutes on the actual work.
Yeah, that makes sense to me.
Like, the amount of time it actually takes to do something is pretty minimal.
Yeah. It's just finding the right. I remember that from grad school. Like, the whole first year, there would just be days where I just sat in front of the piano and it was just like clanging away. And it was like, nothing good is coming of this. How am I going to write something that is like going to comprise a thesis? And then I just, for whatever reason, things clicked in, and then the entire month of August, I wrote the whole fucking thing, just like heads down, no talking to other people, no interruptions, and then like walked in to my teacher, but it was also my advisor's office, like threw the score down on the piano and was like, there, it's done. But
yeah,
but so, and. And we were talking about this before the call. I do find it interesting that that trait links up very nicely with the description of my dosha in Ayurveda, and every Ayurvedic practitioner that I've gone to says that it like that is a, you know, a trait that makes sense, that there is this like,
is that short pitta?
Sustained, yeah, short sustained like burn. But if you try and make it last too long, you're fucked.
It's like above average production for a shorter period of time, but
yeah,
like trying to mellow it out for sustainability doesn't really work. So you have to learn how to ride the waves. I really relate with that, and I don't think I'm pitta, although. In some ways, I'm super fiery and have some pitta qualities, but I also have a lot of, I'm pretty tridoshic. Mm-hmm. Anyways.
This has become now astrology, now Ayurveda, now.
No, let's just a mile wide and an inch deep this episode. No, but I really relate with that. When I was in school, it was like nothing, nothing, nothing. And then finally, when the energy was right, when my mood was right, when the stars aligned, I could just crank it. Crank it all out and crank it well. And one of my teachers said, look, you're working on things even when you don't realize you're working on them.
Oh, yeah, that's fair.
Like, your subconscious is integrating and making sense of things. And so when you were pounding away on the piano, or when I was watching Netflix or getting drunk, whatever, like, things are percolating in the background. It is on your mind without being in the front of your mind, which is why some of our best ideas come from the shower. And it's also one of the reasons I really like yoga nidra. I find that it is a semi-wakeful time for you to allow creative processing without thinking directly on an issue.
Sure. Yeah.
Not just creative processing, but processing in general.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, yes to all of that. Which, by the way, this is a shameless plug. I'm in the middle of creating a 3-week workshop, Ryan. It's my first 3-week workshop that involves writing and yoga. Anyways, yeah, and it's a lot of what we're talking about today, which is interesting. It's like for 3 weeks, let's identify a project. Like everything is self-identified. You have to come to this with ideas of what you want to do, but like how to, you know, humiliate your goals.
Is that going to be the title of the workshop now?
There's going to be V-neck t-shirts. No, but like the idea is
deep, deep V's.
I'm sorry, you can't see me right now, but I'm gesticulating toward the V. Anyways, it is something I'm interested in, and how to do that without it feeling like achievement based and more like process and habit based.
Yeah.
How did we get here? We're talking about writing and creative surges. Oh, we're talking about the getting this TT done. Like it's supposed to be, you know, for some people it's like quiet time.
Yeah.
And it has not been that over in this farmstead.
No. And when I speak with friends who are distinctly bored with their time, I'm like, I get a little jealous. A little like, I have done more work in this time period than I ever have. Not ever. But it certainly feels that way. It feels like sort of constant work to be done. And and I'm grateful for that. It's really nice to have something to focus on and then also to have a little bit more time to practice, just because I'm not commuting to anywhere. I'm just commuting from my bed onto my mat, my kitchen for coffee, and then back to my mat. And then with all of this, you know, we're recording this on what's the date today?
The 14th, May 14th.
So I don't know if you saw this on your feed, but they made the announcement that they were going to make the announcement about what the reopening plan, like the details of the reopening plan on Monday. Like the 18th.
Yeah. So Massachusetts is, you guys are slower than Rhode Island's already in phase one of reopening.
So oh, wow.
You
guys, okay.
Will be in phase one. They're going to announce that on Monday, right?
No, they're not going to announce that they're in. My understanding is that they're not announcing they're in phase one. They're announcing what the phases
will be.
And I don't think that, and I've asked around with some folks who know things, and their sense is that we have not met the standard for phase one, so that this is just the announcement of what the plan is happening on Monday, and that will and everyone's trying to like speculate what the phase one businesses that will be allowed to open are. And I'm like, don't think your gym is a phase one business, because it's not. I saw some friends in Ohio who are massage therapists, and they were given the green light to go back to work, and none of them are. They're just like, that's stupid. We're not.
Oh, wow.
So it's one thing to green light. It's another thing to, you know, are people willing to go back to working in physical spaces again? And I think we're going to, in my mind, the yo-yo effect of like reopening and then pulling everybody back is actually worse than just staying put for a couple more months, and getting more information. But my various feeds lit up with like, oh my God, everything's going to be open on Monday. And I was like, no, read.
Yeah, I had to drive through downtown Boston on Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
Oh gosh. It was like the first time I've enjoyed, first of all.
Yeah.
But it's eerie.
Yeah.
It's eerie.
And I don't it's so everything is just so unknown, and so like even my own mind tries to like grasp for a sort of like a very like concrete if then statement, like if they figure out this, then we can do that. If they figure out this, then we could do that. Like, you know, it tries to like find a logical way through it. And I don't think that there is. I think it's pretty, I think we're just going to be in this odd state of limbo for quite a while. And I'm grateful to live in a state that's being conservative about the whole thing. And from what we're seeing in other places that have opened up, maybe other places should be more cautious. But I also think it's just interesting because, you know, especially when you look at the yoga world, and, you know, I have my complicated feelings about Matthew Remsky, very complicated feelings about Matthew Remsky, but he's been writing some really, I just find them amusing. I'm not sure if they're meant to be amusing, but I never am sure with him. Posts about the intersection between conspiracy theorists, yoga, MLM, cult. Like there's a intersection of those Venn diagrams that is very clear in this time of coronavirus. And I have to say, most of the people on my feed, none who I know super well, but most of the people that I see on Facebook and even a little bit on Instagram are, you know, that are indulging in these sort of pandemic conspiracy theory type jargon. They're longtime yoga practitioners.
What is the conspiracy theory? By the way, I've reduced my news intake.
I mean, I don't even really want to like repeat
give it
because there's a number of them out there. But basically, like this is a, you know, this is all a plan and a plot towards some end.
Some nefarious end. Okay.
And depending on who you ask, the plot is being executed by someone different, and the nefarious end is slightly different. And most of them cast Bill Gates as some sort of evil mastermind. It's just like, you know, everyone can obviously think what they want to think, but sometimes it's just better to not say anything or not post anything, you know? And this would be one of those times. Like, even if, you know, I see some of these acquaintances of mine posting things about this stuff, and I just want to be like, you know, there are people out there like in hospitals busting their ass to try and keep people alive. So even if you think this is the case, like, why don't you shut the fuck up for a hot second and, you know, keep that shit to yourself.
So, because they probably think that sharing it is doing the right thing.
Doing some sort of service. You know, they're a bodhisattva. if I hear that word abused one more time, I'm going to like jump through a screen and punch someone.
Good God. I haven't heard anybody use it in a while.
I was in a friend of mine invited me to come to a virtual meditation gathering. And it was like Sunday and I had nothing to do. And I was just like, okay, I'll pop on this. And, I won't say the name of the center, but the person leading it was someone who I'd heard talks from before and generally find her to be a funny human being and a kind human being. And at one point she read this whole thing about a bodhisattva in the time of coronavirus I guess for context. So bodhisattva, is sort of this idea in Buddhism that the baseline Buddhist teachings leading towards some sort of personal enlightenment, and then the realization that my enlightenment is wrapped up in yours and is wrapped up in yours and yours and yours. So it actually makes no sense for there to be any liberation of oneself without turning back around and helping everybody else. That's like a very like scratch the surface, mile wide, inch deep description. And oftentimes, and this there was no different here, it's painted with this like really flowery language of compassion and kindness. And the thing is that, yes, and there's quite a bit of iconography in terms of bodhisattvas who are quite wrathful and sharp and clear. And there's an acknowledgement that sometimes what is compassionate is actually quite difficult and quite can seem quite harsh, but not harsh coming from sort of an egocentric point of view, which is the tricky thing, which is why people tend to leave that part of the equation out of the discussion, especially when they're just scratching the surface. But I was kind of like, in that moment, I was like, this is not the time to only have that one side of the equation. It's the time to acknowledge that both are needed. If that's a phrase that you're actually going to sit with and practice with and try to embody, it's not this just sort of, oh, I'm just going to be kind to everybody. No, that's not it. Like, that's not it. That's not
Jesus
it.
Was a table flipper. No, but it's true. And this is something that eats at me.
Yeah.
Throughout my life, I've contended with the criticism that you get more flies with honey and round your teeth a little bit.
Yeah.
And there's part of me that is like, you have to do both.
Yeah.
Be a strategic communicator, and also it's like okay to express. I don't know. I'm like tired of defending. I don't know. I'm making the what did you find? Oh my goodness. Did you find a seltzer? She found a seltzer. Anyways, yes, but And Jesus was arguably a bodhisattva.
Yes, some might say. But it's not even, like, I find it helpful to, because that's a very lofty word. It's just to acknowledge that sometimes that it is very nebulous to know what is the compassionate act is not always so clear cut. And it so often is used as a way to bypass the real truth of what is going on. So it's like those are the two things I see people sort of approaching this with. One is with, or not just two, there's probably others, but the two that have been sort of circulating this week is like the conspiracy theory from the yoga lens, and or just this like, oh, we all have to be kind and compassionate towards one another, and there's more truth to that than I think that the other mainstream of thought I've been seeing coming at me through various news and social media outlets. And then it just feels so tone deaf to be like, oh, we just have to be kind. And it's like, you know, in some ways it's also like the like clapping for the hospital workers. It's like, okay, great, but now what? Like, now what are you going to do? Because the clapping isn't going to help them.
Yeah.
It's like, don't not do it, but like, that's not going to help. Don't not post something about a black man getting killed, a mob getting killed, but for running in his neighborhood. But do you, don't just post a slide that you copied from someone else. Then what do you do? And that's actually, to me, where it gets hard, because then you have to sit with, well, I don't fucking know what to do. And that's all, like, nobody fucking knows what to do. And so we find these little ways to like make it feel like we're doing something helpful, clapping, posting, whatever. And I don't say that to discourage it, because that can be really, really useful, and really, make someone or bring awareness to somebody about something that's going on, or you know, you don't know how something that you do or say is going or post is going to hit somebody in a positive way, or for that matter in a negative way. But I am just always finding myself sitting back being like, what? What the? Like, at the end of the day, we still don't have any answer about what the fuck to do. And so we have to sit with that and sort of lean into that. And and then it just kind of brings me always back to a simple kind of reflection on what do I want, or how do I want to be through this weird, confused time. You know, that's where the ability to practice actually really comes in handy. But also doesn't necessarily give you any clear answers. You're muted.
I know. I've been seeing some really great writing online about the ups and downs of this and how, you know, one day can feel so normal and right or more peaceful. Like, and if every day were like this would be all right, we'd get through this.
Yeah.
And then there are those days, and it's more likely it's not really a day. It's a pocket of time. It's it's a bad hour. But I've been reading some really vulnerable things from some writers that have been helpful. One of them was, I think it was in the Atlantic, and it was a, let me get my source. It was a day in the life of different types of parents.
Uh-huh.
And it was so honest about how people are trying to not get fired and be a shitty employee, and are also really being a, for lack of better words, a shitty parent. And it's like, you can't do both. This is just the season of, in some ways, failure, or reframing what we think success is. And it's really hard to do that. Because I know personally, I feel like I should be able to do all of this better.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I should be able to use this time to clean my apartment and to have a curriculum for my 2-year-old and to fill in the voids of social activity and outdoor play and things that were in place. Like, I should be able to replicate and create that while keeping a roof over the head, over our heads, and, you know, being able to pay bills. And I'm not. I fail. There's more screen time than I'm proud of. And, I think kids are seeing their parents more vulnerable than they otherwise would have. And I just think there isn't enough recognition of the fact that this is genuinely like survival mode. So when people share the whole, like, all that's being asked of you is to stay home, you can do that. Like, our grandparents, like,
yeah,
went to war. And there's part of me that's like, it's more complicated than that.
Yeah. It's distinctly more complicated
than that. The structures of support that were in place, I didn't even notice until they were taken.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
My tips for the week are I don't have any. I'm not good at this.
Yeah.
I'm really not. I'll give you my vulnerable.
Isn't your tip to just go out and humiliate your goals?
Freaking humiliate them. No, my tip is, where is this freaking article that Gabby shared with me? It was so good. Was it a text? it's like, freaking, we talk on every platform. It's not useful. New York Times. It came out May 13th, and it's in the opinion section. It's called Parenting Coronavirus Burnout.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so on point. But, you know, so my advice, my coronavirus advice right now is if you're doing teletherapy, you know, sign up for an extra session if you're lucky and can afford, excuse me, if you can afford that. And some insurance companies are waiving copays right now. Mm-hmm. For mental health stuff. So, you know, if you're not doing your mental health stuff, maybe do it.
Yeah. Yeah.
I would say that my advice is to shower, but I haven't showered in. Okay. So I skipped a day. It's not a big deal.
Skipped a day. I managed to shower this morning, but I had skipped like 4 days prior to that.
I got to get in there. I got to get into the, it's like going to church, going to the shower. It's like, man, I don't want to go, but I always feel better.
Yeah.
Although I never felt better leaving church. So I don't know about that analogy, but I want to go in a small area and feel some shame about my body. So that's how it's similar to church. So I'm feeling less shame about my body now these days. So that's good too.
I have no tips. I have no tips.
Here's a tip. Grow some broccoli. You just need one 12-inch container.
Oh,
and you
really?
Can grow a beautiful blossom of your own broccoli. How
oh,
about
wow.
that?
How
container
about that?
Container gardening. It's there's nothing more optimistic than gardening. And the other thing about it is, don't you feel like we've stopped talking about the future? And that's how this episode started, really, was about goals. And goals are a deep form of optimism.
Yeah.
They are. Like, above all, like, they're problematic in some ways, but they are a way to take you out of the moment and bring you into the hope for the future, which has good and bad sides, because it takes you out of the present. But sometimes it's good to be out of the present and ask for more.
Yeah.
Or something to build or contribute or do. But during this time, talking about the future hasn't been happening as much because normally we're talking about things we might do.
Yeah.
Places we might go, people we might see. So we don't have that right now.
Yeah.
So it's okay to take other goals out into the street and strip them down, cover them in bacon, swear at them.
Why
put
bacon?
A strong hose. I don't know. I just feel like meat on the goal. Put your meat on the goal.
That's chapter one.
I'm still workshopping it. I'm going to continue to buy bras that don't fit so no one can see them and so that I don't wear them. That's a hobby. You could.
Fantastic.
Do you have any tips?
I have no tips. I have no tips. None.
Yeah, you do.
No tips, just I feel like so much of this for me is just like when I step back and think about like even just more like 8 months ago, I was thinking about keeping the studio going for another 2 years and a plan to figure out how to do that. And now here we are. And it's kind of mind blowing.
Uh-huh. Yeah, 8 months ago looked real different for both of us.
Yeah. But here we are.
All right. I feel really unsatisfied that you won't give me any tips for living as an adult.
Let's see if I can pull one deep from within my soul. this may only apply to me, but I know that other people have been having similar disturbed sleep patterns. This week has been the, I'm grateful, knock on wood, that it has not been the just not able to go to bed, because that has happened historically sometimes, and that is harder to deal with. But this week we've been doing the, let's sleep for 2 hours and then wake up for like 45 minutes and then sleep for 2 hours and wake up for 45 minutes and then sleep. Like,
oh,
that only happened once last night. So I feel like we're, I feel like it's that we're settling. But I've just been not fighting it and just kind of like, okay, I'm up now. And then I plop down on my meditation cushion and I sit, and in a very like informal way, I just kind of let my mind kind of go wherever it wants to go. And it's really interesting to, and sometimes I write too, but most of the time, not. And then to watch whatever anxiety or whatever energy sort of wind itself out and like observe getting tired again and then roll back into bed and go to sleep for another 2 hours. And then, so I've just been like not fighting it. Just like I've been trying to not fight when I hit a wall of, I can't do anything anymore. That's been, I mean, it still sucks not to get a full night's sleep, but it at least is a different, different approach than what I've historically taken.
I like that. Yeah. Whatever comes up, less resistance around it.
Yeah. Cause there's just no precedent for this. So it's not like, is just trying to have some understanding for like, oh yeah, it makes sense that I'd be having some pretty fucking disturbed nights of sleep right now. That's pretty normal.
Or being inexplicably tired.
Yes. Just exactly. Inexplicably exhausted is also a state. So that's all I have from the, oh, that and I'm, you, I would say historically when I've tried to actually write stuff down in the context of practice, like a sort of formal reflection practice, and I don't like the word journaling because journaling sounds like it's coming out in like prose, and like sometimes it does, but sometimes it's literally just words and like arrows and like, mm-hmm. It doesn't feel like journaling it all the time. I have found myself through this process feeling a lot more comfortable just kind of like letting whatever sort of splats onto the paper in a sort of Jackson Pollock-esque collection of words and characters be just okay and not feeling like I have to have a completely formed thought to put it down somewhere. So that has been helpful.
Good.
Yeah.
I like that.
Maybe I should take your writing workshop. Humiliating your writing goals.
I am all about starting to carve out more time to offer workshop accountability spaces for cultivating more writing.
Yeah.
Now, not a place for people to like share and they can if they want, but like for the most part, it's a community of accountability and sharing that you are writing.
Yeah.
Because I've been, you know, it's been a bit since I've done that and I miss it.
Yeah.
And it ties so closely into the practice for me. Those two things are forms of self-care along with reading.
Yeah.
Read, write, yoga. And those are a way to contend with and interact with the world that can help you transmute something.
Yeah.
If transmutation is what is required.
Indeed. I also love the feeling of cracking open a new notebook.
Oh,
isn't that the best?
Well, my life is full of quarter-filled notebooks.
Quarter-filled
notebooks. That's the name of my book.
I've been I go back and forth. This is a digression between like a very like grid notebook, like the actual like.
I love the grids. Yes.
To like a blank page, but nowhere in between. It's going to be one or the other.
The lines are awful.
Yeah.
The lines are too big. And yes. Like, I feel like a child somehow. Like, so they don't trust
Fez turned me on to these, the sort of
Moleskine?
Black, they have like a leathery, not leathery.
Is it Moleskine?
No, it's not. It's a sketchbook actually. It's a Strathmore, sketchbook, but, the pages are nice and thick.
Ooh.
And
that's a sexy notebook.
And it it's that every teacher I know has a, first of all, their own that I, every teacher I know that I work with regularly has like a shelf full of notebooks of their particular like style and liking, that are just filled with practice notes and ideas and stuff. It's very interesting quirk of everybody that I've ever worked with. It's just like stacks and stacks and stacks of things like this.
I've stopped doing that.
Yeah.
And I'm not recommending stopping doing that to be clear. The reason I have stopped doing that is because of my writing life. I have, as I have described, I have cases and cases of journals that are half full, fully full, and a quarter full, and are at some point, I'm using the Marie Kondo method to go through them at some point,
yes. Not
right now. But I started to accumulate those with yoga too. And for me, it became a gesture of anxiety, of gripping and holding on to a class. And I know that this is faulty. There's two sides to this, because there's sometimes it would be nice to refer to a wonderful class, but I also have been cultivating a deep trust in my ability to call forth those sequences for the class in front of me at a given time.
Sure.
You know, like when I think about sequencing, I think about it being like a ephemeral of the moment thing based on who's there and what I know about certain things when you put them together, at least in my body. Mm-hmm. So for me, it's been an act of letting go and an act of trying to step away from my hoarding instinct. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I will write down things I have said.
Yeah. Well, this is, I mean, it's very interesting. Like sometimes, like for years, I would do the like parsing of like, this notebook is for this and this notebook is for this. And now it's very much like, no, this is just the notebook where I'm writing everything down. And then when it's done, I scribble the dates on the spine and shelve it. And I almost never refer back to them looking for sequences. Sometimes I refer back to them looking for notes that I've taken or diagrams that I've drawn. Every once in a while, I will do the work of going back, like, not last week, but like years back, and like paging through what I was teaching and what I was practicing, and just having that as a reference of like, oh, that's interesting. That, because sometimes you're like, wow, why the fuck was I doing that? And sometimes you're like, oh, that's actually a really good idea that I kind of stopped teaching and stopped practicing. Let me pull it forth from my brain. And again, it's not like I do that all the time, and I'm actually probably due to do that again at some point this year. But it is really fascinating to go back and page through.
It is, but it's a part-time job.
Yeah.
And it's one I don't have time for. And for me, letting go of the journaling has helped me to edit my teaching. Uh-huh. I am less complicated.
Yeah.
I teach simpler sequences, and I think I'm better for it.
Yeah.
Like that's, I don't see that as the case with you. You use it for a different thing.
You know what I mean?
But I'm just sort of like the way I abuse the hoarding of journals is as such.
Yeah.
Okay.
So everyone go humiliate their goals.
Do it. And
bacon or not is fine if you're vegetarian.
When does this go up? Sunday?
Sunday, yeah.
Okay. If you're interested in the workshops, and you got any workshops coming up?
Yes. On the 7th of June, we were going to do, obviously it was going to be in studio, a sort of afternoon retreat. Sort of going back and forth between asana practice and seated meditation. And we're going to try to do it online and see what happens. Nice. I believe it's 1 to 5:30. I could be wrong about that. We'll just take the afternoon to settle into a little more practice, which I'm excited about.
And I'm doing Reemerge and Reimagine. It's a 3-week Sunday nights, 3 Sunday nights in a row from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Mm-hmm. Reading and writing and yoga and habit identification, mm-hmm. and potentially experimenting with dropping and adding a new habit in the course of this. We sound like Skeksis from Dark Crystal. Oh. My stone. Steal her essence.
That was almost Yoda.
Yeah, it's Dark Crystal. It's all tied in. Okay. Well, this has been
unrolled. Yes, it has been. Bye.